I just want to read a few passages before we begin. These are the texts being read all over the planet right now on this Christmas morning. Isaiah chapter 52, starting at verse number 7. Then I'll read Luke chapter 2, 15 through 20, and then Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. This is from the prophet Isaiah 52. It says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the light, in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God." Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 15. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 15. "When the angels had left them and gone into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." And then the letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, starting at verse number 4. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." During this Advent season, we've been talking about choices. We're just surrounded by so many choices. When I was a kid growing up, east side of Buffalo, Herman Street, at the corner of Herman and Genesee, there was a store called Jackson's. It was a corner store, and when you walked in the store, the only thing that they sold in Jackson's was candy. It was a candy store, and I don't know about you, but you know, stores where I grew up, we could buy penny candy. Anybody know about penny candy? You go in and you give 50 cents, you get 50 pieces of candy. It's not now where you go to the store, you pay 50 cents for a box of candy and you get like 3 pieces. You get 50 pieces of candy, and so you go in the store and you can mix and match. And you can say, "I want 2 of those, and I want 10 of those, and I want 15 of those, and 6 of those, and I just want 1 of those." And it was just all these choices. You're just surrounded by all these choices, and it was just a lovely, lovely place to go into, Jackson's candy store. And that's kind of how our world is right now. We're just surrounded by so many choices. What to eat, what to wear, where to go, how to do this, how to do what this, you know, what shoes to wear, what jacket to wear, what cologne to put on, what toothpaste to buy, you know, toilet paper. Going to buy toilet paper is the worst experience in the world, because it used to be that you go buy 12 rolls of toilet paper, but now you have to make choices because they have toilet paper that says this pack has 9 giant rolls, which equals 36 regular rolls, or this package has 12 rolls that equals 48, you know, minor rolls, or I don't know how to do math that well. It's all right if it's 12 for 24, but they got 12 for 48 and 13 for 72. Choices. We're surrounded by so many choices. And what we have advocated this Advent season is that in the midst of all of the choices that we can make regarding our view of the world, regarding the view of society, regarding the view of our own lives, is that we make some choices, that we choose hope. We choose hope over despair. We choose joy. We choose peace. And we choose love. Because we have so many choices, and we're surrounded by stories of people making incredible choices, bad and good. We have people who have decided to ruin families, you know, this Christmas season by breaking into homes and stealing Christmas presents. This is a terrible choice. It's a bad choice. But there's others who are making good choices. I had a friend that called me last week and said, "Hey, I've got $1,000, and I think I'm just gonna get a bunch of $50 bills and go to Walmart and just hand out some $50 bills. Would you like to come along with me?" I said, "Sure." And we go, and I'll be honest with you, never done that before, didn't know what to expect, didn't know how to do it. I mean, I don't know how you just go up to somebody and say, "Hey, here's a 50. But in time, it grew into probably one of the most incredible experiences I've ever experienced in my whole life. To go up to unsuspecting shoppers, some in line while they were checking out, you know, "Hey, can I give you $50 for your groceries?" No one said no. That was kind of interesting. But there are people who make some bad choices, steal things, but then there's some people who make some good choices. So we're surrounded by so many choices. A few weeks ago on the campus of Ohio State, someone made a choice to run his car and into a crowd of people and come out with a knife intending to harm some folks. Bad choice, and it rocked the campus. It rocked our area, because I mean, this is Central Ohio. We have students, you know, that attend Ohio State. Bad choice. But later on that evening, you know, you had folks who had organized gatherings of interfaith, you know, rabbis and imams and Christians coming, you know, pastors coming together to talk about peace. I didn't expect you to be here, Samantha, but the one of the people who organized that gathering is sitting in our audience right now, Samantha, Ethan Scheidner's girlfriend. And I'm not embarrassing you, because you're on the news. So if you watched that day, you would have seen her. Yeah, bad choice, but then good choices. Man, we have so many children making so many bad decisions. You know, how many shootings have there been in Columbus? I think we just went over the 100 mark in Columbus with murders, homicides this year. And a lot of them have been committed by young people, or the victims have been young people. 2-year-old kids being shot in the head, isn't it? Bad choices. But then there's good choices. Little Braxton. Braxton is a kid that used to attend Slate Ridge Elementary, and I think he's 7 or 8, and he has a cancer in his brain that keeps coming back. Get rid of it, and it keeps coming back. Man, he's just had a hard life so far. And they were just told that the cancer has returned, and they have to perform a chemo and radiation that's going to be so aggressive, it's going to make him really sick. And he knows it. He knows that it's coming. But he's not laying in his room just waiting for the procedure to come. Braxton was sworn in as a police officer in Pataskala. And he's been using the past several weeks raising money and raising, getting people to donate Lego toys to bless other kids who are hurting and who likes Legos. Choices. We have some bad choices and we have some good choices. And again, what we have advocated over the past several weeks is that we choose, instead of getting wrapped up in the negativity and the bad, choosing some of the positive and the productive. So that's why we choose hope and we choose joy and we choose peace and we choose love. And what we need to understand this morning is that what motivates us or moves us to make those choices is an understanding that God himself made a choice. And really the story of Christmas is this, that God chose us. Yes, his love compelled him to choose. There was a choice because he could have rejected us. He could have just said, just disregard. I can't do nothing with people. The people are going to be people. I don't want nothing to do with them ever, 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 ever again. And trust me, he was faced with that choice several times. But he chose us. And he chose us by sending us his son, Jesus, sending Jesus into this world, which was a choice because it was his only son. His expression that was so unique could have kept him all to himself, but sent him to us, born in meager and maybe subpar circumstances, enough to cause anyone to be bitter. You grow up in poverty, you grow up without a lot of things. There's a choice to grow up bitter. But Jesus chose a different path. He chose to be delightful. He chose a path of poverty. He chose a path to be poor so that we would be rich. There were people who rejected him, and Jesus could have chosen to retaliate. But instead, he chose to be a giving savior. There was a time when there were those who were asking him for help, and they weren't of the right. I mean, they weren't Jews. They weren't Jewish enough. And even though Jesus was Jewish, and even though he was brought up under this law that had these strict rules about dealing with people who were outside of the law, Jesus could have chose to say, I talk to the hand. I've got nothing for you. But he chose to engage and bless. Yeah, Jesus was rejected. He was talked about. He was spit on. He was beat up. He's on a cross, and he could have chosen to say, you know what? There's no salvation for these people. Let God just, Father, send a lightning bolt down and zap them all. But he chose to die. So in the end, church, the story of Christmas is that God chose us. And that's something to give us joy. That's something to cause us to sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. That's enough to cause us to smile a little bit. That's enough to say that we have something to be hopeful for, something to be joyful about, something to motivate us to maintain peace, something to compel us to love one another, to love our friends, our family, and our enemies and those we disagree with. Because God chose us. And so this Christmas morning 2016, I pray and ask that you walk out of these doors and go and do whatever you need to do with your head held high. knowing this, that there may have been some jobs that have rejected you. There may have been some girls or some boys that have rejected you. There may have been some opportunities that have rejected you. There may have been some systems that have rejected you. There may have been some situations that you thought was going in your way, and you were ready to receive that, and it rejected you. I want you to know that in spite of all of those rejections, you can walk out of here with your head high, because God chose you. At the right time, God sent His Son. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son, giving us an opportunity to have this intimate relationship with Him, where we can call Him Abba Father or Daddy in the most intimate of ways. God could have chosen another planet. He could have chosen another universe. He could have chosen another species. God could have done this with some ant. He could have done it with, but He chose us. And I pray that you would receive that. Pray that you would live that. And I pray that you would tell that story to somebody else. Is that all right, church? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your grace, and your decision to choose us. Father, your love is so overwhelming. And a lot of times we just don't even know how to respond to it. Father, the way that we intend to respond to it from this point forward is just in worship. By bowing to you, by giving you all that we have, giving you our everything, we give it to you because you chose us. We walk and live with our heads held high because you chose us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Joy to the World in just a second. I want to share a quote with you. There are many that are convinced that this world is just too far gone, and we should just kind of live in a way that reflects that, you know, it's irreparable. There's nothing we can do. The attitude of the early church was one that they celebrated the life of Jesus, the death, his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, as one that was a stamp that since his presence is in this world, we don't have to live in despair. And so I read this quote that says the early Christians did not say in dismay, "Look what the world has come to." Instead, in delight, they said, "Look what has come to the world." That's a twist on a perspective. But we don't walk around saying, "Oh man, look at this world." No, we walk around and says, "Jesus, the light, has come to this world." And as long as Jesus, the light of the world, is in this world, there will always be cause for hope, for joy, for peace, and for love. Amen. And that's the life that we live, and that's the life that I pray that we as a body would reflect, not just during Christmas time, but you know, next week, next January and February, all the way through next Advent season. As we sing Joy to the World, want to offer you this at the end of service. Last night we started a collection to help an individual find some housing in a hotel for a week, and we raised over $100 or so last night. And if you'd like to give to that effort, I'm going to have a basket in the back. It's going to be the green and red basket. If you want to donate, I shared last night, if you weren't here, that over the past several weeks, the generosity of this church has just far surpassed, I think, even what I anticipated what would happen if we had some of these love offerings. But we helped a family that suffered in a fire. Received some things. We helped the family get in a house. You know, this morning, she's texting how grateful she is to God because she now has a house for her two little girls on Christmas morning. We helped some teachers out. We've done some beautiful things. And so if you'd like to give to that effort, just want to give you that opportunity. If there's anything else that the church can do for you, prayer, or share with you, if something you want to share with the church, please come as we stand and as we sing.